Well, you may be seated. Thank you for coming again this morning. If you're joining us live on Facebook, we're glad that you're with us. We hope to see you soon. And this is a special morning as we've been celebrating. We all came together at 9 o'clock and had a time, kind of a fireside chat, so to speak, is a good time in God's Word, talking about all that God's doing. And we're looking forward to celebrating the Lord's Supper together here in just a little bit. But before we do that, I want to introduce our guest speaker. And this morning, you're going to get, some of you have never met Doug Carriger and Debbie, his wife. They're a wonderful couple, and he's a missionary that serves for AFBM, and Armed Forces Baptist Mission. And they have local church plants all over the world, literally, around military bases. And Dr. Doug Carriger is the director of that, as well as Wounded Spirits, which is kind of another endeavor that God has entrusted our brother with, who is himself, just a one-man evangelistic wrecking crew. I've been so encouraged to be around you. He's just always sharing the gospel, and one of the unique tools in his bag is really having a grace and a mercy to help people with that have gone through trauma. PTSD is what we call it. And he himself and his background, he can give you all the details, but being a sergeant major in the United States Army has served him well and given him opportunity to speak, and it's just our privilege to have him with us this morning and share here at HBF. Now, Brother Doug has spent a lot of time investing in us. Last year he came, you've probably been here this year, third time, I think.
Yes, sir.
And he's invested in us, training us, and helping us prepare to be usable in the ministry of counseling those that have suffered from PTSD. And so he's been here since Wednesday. If you've missed him, man, you've missed something. He had a good message on Wednesday night, and then he trained us Thursday, Friday, yesterday afternoon for several hours. And then, of course, he's coming back this morning. So, man, I tell you what, we are blessed to have Brother Doug. So give Brother Doug a good HBF welcome as he comes this morning to preach to us.
Thank you, Pastor. It's awesome to be here with everybody. I enjoyed your worship time. I always enjoy coming here. And, you know, Debbie's really bummed out that she wasn't able to come this year. And Debbie, so we shared shoulder surgery this year. I can't say shoulder six times quickly, but back in November, right around Thanksgiving time, I had shoulder reconstruction on my right arm. And it was just coming to a point where it was somewhat tolerable. And Debbie and I had physicals, and Debbie's physical showed that she had a locked arm. And so she got to have her own shoulder surgery, and they found out that she had a couple just really large bone spurs. They had to go in and grind them down. She had a torn bicep. So she's just finished physical therapy Tuesday. So it's pretty awesome. So she kind of, I guess, could have come. I just didn't want to push it. I wanted her to feel really well. But I want to say thank you to everybody who's been a blessing to me since I've arrived on Wednesday. Lots of great meals, lots of great fellowship. Awesome opportunity, I think, in the PTSD training. I'm always thrilled when I get to open up God's Word and share it with people. And it's even more thrilling when the people you're sharing with want to hear what you have to share. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being so conscientious. That's not always the case as we go about and go around. And I would ask that you'd keep us in prayers this week. We have a couple pretty big opportunities we've got a pretty big opportunity right here, right now. And then tomorrow, we have a pretty big opportunity. I'm traveling to Indiana. And on Tuesday, I can't get into the details of it, but there may be a situation where a retreat would be giving to Wounded Spirits or for our PTSD program. So I really want you folks praying about that, because from worldly standards, it's impossible to have a piece of property like this. And from worldly, as the world would look at it, it's impossible for someone to give us something like this. So I'm just asking that you would pray with us about that, and we'll see what God does. I've found that nothing I do really amounts to much, but what God does changes the world. So I would just ask that you would pray and really be praying Tuesday. The meeting is at 9 o'clock on Tuesday. I'd seek your prayers in that area. If you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 2 this morning. John chapter 2. I wrote this message about a month and a half ago, flying on an airplane. It's funny how we read God's Word, and as we go through God's Word, we see some things, and And God made something very clear to me in John chapter 2. He illuminated something in my heart about a few different groups of people and how those groups of people can come together and do something wonderful for God. And that's what we see in John chapter 2. We're going to be going through the first seven verses. Would you do me a favor, if you found that, would you stand with me so I'll know you're there? And I promise I'll let you sit right back down. I've already met my stand goal on my Apple Watch today, Pastor. It told me about halfway through. And, you know, I think I move a lot. It's been freaking me out because I've been watching that Beto guy now, and I don't want to be like him. So I was holding my hands behind me, man. That guy could power this church building if they could harness those hands, you know. But, yeah, I'm not very good at jokes. All right. John chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I have to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Heavenly Father, oh God, thank you for Heartland Baptist Fellowship. Thank you for these souls you've entrusted to this church today. Dear God, we come to you and we beg you, if there's one here who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Lord, we beg you that today would be their day of salvation, and God would be quick to give you the honor and glory. You alone, Lord, can save. You alone, Lord, can change. Lord, certainly in a group this big, there are some in pain this morning, physically, mentally, spiritually, they're hurting. God, you know our hearts. You know every hair on our head, every bone in our body. Lord, would you touch us this morning? Would you help us, dear God, as we travel through this world? We love you and we need you. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Thank you very much. So I think my water took a fall, praise God. I felt the presence around me just then. And this one's been open before. This one's already been drinking here or something like that. I hope they didn't have anything bad, praise God. And I had a friend of mine, before preachers would come in his pulpit, he would say, "Brother Doug, we have a water for you." And I never drank it. And it was funny, as Pastor passed around the $5 bill this morning, just yesterday, you know, you can't read the news on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Just yesterday it said that 99% of money had fecal matter on it. And I was thinking, do I really want to hold that $5 bill? I'm like, my God. 99% of people have that too. But anyway, I told you I don't know what I'm doing here when it comes to jokes. But I do know God's word, I think, for this morning. I want to point out three groups of people, and I think these groups of people can really show us something. There's three groups of people here at this miracle, the miracle at Cana. There's a married couple. And we learn a lot from the married couple as we look at the scripture this morning. And this is a lesson for every marriage, every family, every individual. We need to look at this married couple and glean what we could. There's a second group of people here, or one person, and that's the mother of Christ. That's a person we can learn a lot about this morning, is the mother of Christ. And then there's a third group of people which we should all aspire to be. We should aspire to be the first and the third, but those are the motivated servants. And I think as God looks down at us this morning, now, first of all, you guys are in a church that's plugged in. As I sit here and I listen to everything going on, if you want to do something at Heartland Baptist Fellowship, you can do it. Praise God, there's something for everybody here, and you can sign up and you can cruise along. There's nothing worse than going to a church where you crawl in and out and like caterpillars. It's great when you can go to church and jump in and dive in and be part of God's work. And boy, I see that every time I come here. It was honored to go through the to go through the PowerPoints this morning, to hear Pastor as he went through his list for the church here. I said, that's exciting. Everything he went through, the missions trips, the Bible print. Bible printing's cool. And folks, I've been a guy who've passed thousands of Bibles like you through my hands. That's a pretty great thing. I remember it wasn't that long ago, we were standing 6 miles from North Korea handing boxes of Bibles out to our American military. What a joy that was. And you guys are part of that, and you guys are doing that on a regular basis. So that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, is being a motivated servant, emulating the married couple, and seeing what's going on. Point number one, the married couple. In the third day was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. You know what this married couple did? They invited Jesus into their marriage. You know, let me tell you something, folks. You need to have Jesus as part of your marriage. If you wonder what's wrong with your marriage, was Jesus there when you woke up this morning? Were you in the Word of God? Were you living it? Folks, Jesus needs to be part of our marriage, and he needs to be part of our family, and he needs to be part of our lives. And I remember when Debbie and I first got married, when we met, we were Catholics, and we were living in the world, and thank God he brought us together, and he kept us together, and please don't get me wrong, we weren't cheating on each other, we weren't out boozing it and losing it, we weren't doing all the crazy things that many people in the world we're doing, but the problem we had is we didn't have Jesus in our marriage. And I'll never forget that when I got saved in October 15th, 1993, and I think I've told you guys this story. I was at the United States Army Sergeant's Major Academy, and there was a guy in my class who was different. And folks, if you want to lead people to the Lord, you better be different. If you want to be used of God, you better be different, because you're a different child of God. You got God's anointing on you. God's light should be shining through you. You should be in a place that that God is using you in a wonderful way. And I'll never forget when I got saved. This man, it seemed like every other day I'd say to him, Willie, how come you're different? His name was Willie Vernon Watson, and I say his name all over the country. I said, Willie, I said, how come you're different? How come you're not? We're all arguing. We're all wanting to kill each other. We're all driving each other crazy. And I said, Willie, what makes you so different? And there was some silence. And I wonder if he was thinking, should I tell him? He looked at me and he said, Brother Doug, because if I died right now, I'd know for sure I was going to heaven. Friends, can I tell you something? That's the greatest place ever to be. It made Willie different. And every day I watched Willie out of the corner of my eye. There were 17 people in that base group. And I'd watch Willie out of the corner of my eye, and he was smiling. He was helping people. He was showing people where he finished his homework assignments at. He wasn't worried if he was going to graduate first out of the 466 people there at the Sergeant Major's Academy. He wasn't worried if he was going to look better than everybody else. He wasn't worried if there was going to be a spotlight on him. You know what he wanted to do is he wanted to help other people. It was about other people for him. He had God in him, you know. And when God's in you, it's no longer about you. It's about other people. And that was Willie. I'll never forget October 14th, they came down and they gave us all different times to take PT tests. And in the Army, a PT test is physical training. We run 2 miles and they time it. We run it as quick as we can. And then we have first of all, we start off with push-ups, as many push-ups as we can in 2 minutes. Now, I don't look like it now, but I was a push-up machine when I was in the Army. And then we did sit-ups. We did as many sit-ups as we could for 2 minutes, and you couldn't stop. It was real. You had to keep going. You had to be physically fit. And then we'd go run that 2 miles. And they told us on October 14th, they said, man, we got a PT test tomorrow, and you and Watson are in the first group. I looked over at Willie, and I said, here's the good news. We'll be done by the time most of these knuckleheads are just getting out there. We'll go over. There was a little Mexican place down the road, and they made a burrito about that. It had 6 eggs in it, brother. Praise God. Smoked ham and salsa and pico de gallo. But anyway, just thinking about it changes you, doesn't it? But I think Daylight Donut is right there with that burrito. But I'll never forget, we showed up the next morning. We got there about 5. That was when the gym opened. And Willie and I checked into the gym, and we changed our gear, and we put on our PT clothing. And I looked at him, and I said, Willie, did you say a prayer for me this morning? He said, no, but I will right now. And he hugged me. And he looked over at me and he says, let's pray to my Savior. I hope he becomes yours. He put his arm around me and we prayed. we got ready that morning, and first PT test function was to do push-ups, and we all had this concept of the best way to do push-ups, the best way to prepare, and everybody that day decided that we were going to take a couple 200 milligram Motrin so, you know, the blood would be flowing through us real well, would be real quick. We decided we were, before the run, we were going to drink 16 ounces of Dunkin' Donuts, straight coffee, as fast as we could to get that caffeine high and run better than we ever did. And one guy said, eat a candy bar, the sugar will help you out. And so we had done all those things. We went out, and I just knocked out my push-ups. God was there that morning. I did 102 push-ups. I had to do 48 to pass, and I jumped up, and I was pumped. Just about that time, a guy ran over to me, and he said, Carragher, did you hear about Willie? And I said, no, what's up with Willie? He said he failed his push-ups. I said, no, he didn't. I said, he's at the Sergeant Major's Commander. We took this test like 10 times to get here, and everybody wanted to make sure we weren't going to mess up. He says, not feeling good. And I remember we immediately went to the sit-ups, and you waited in line again. You had at least a 10-minute break, and then you did the sit-ups. And man, I was just so wound up about Willie, but God really blessed during the sit-ups. I just wanted to do really well for the Sergeant Major's Academy because everything goes on your record that you do there. And God blessed me, and I think I got 107 sit-ups out. I mean, I was just a sit-up. Man, I wish I, brother, to see those 205 pounds again and all those sit-ups, and what a blessing that would be, praise God. But anyway, we walked over the two-mile run, and I remember walking with Willie, and I said to Willie, that's what I told him, I'm kind of ashamed of this. I said, Willie, I said, we can tell the leaders that I saw your push-ups and they didn't grade you fairly. And I'll get you another PT test, and you won't get thrown out of the Sergeant Major's Academy. I'm ashamed of that. And Willie looked at me, and he said, Christians don't lie. I said, wow. I remember we went over and did the two-mile run, and I mean, I was ready. I was, you know, you're so scared, you're so wound up. The coffee, the sugar from the candy bar, the Motrin, I mean, I'm ready. You know, they were just moving things, and I thought they blew the whistle, and I did the first quarter mile. I had to come back and go back, praise God. I was wound up, and we went out there, and we took that test, and I never had a faster run. You had to go back till my 18th birthday when I took a PT test before I had a faster run than that. So I came in like 12 minutes, and I was like, because I was never a real fast runner, and I was like so pumped up, and I said, man, and Willie came in. And he was real slow that day. He came in about 17 minutes. And I grabbed him and I put my arm around him and I handed him some water. We were walking back to the gym and I told him it was going to be all right. I knew he was getting thrown out of the Sergeant Major's Academy. So didn't he, but the grace that he had. And just then, Willie slammed into the ground. We were about 100 yards from your sign here, maybe a little less than 100 yards. And Willie got on the ground and I kicked him. And I said, Willie, get up. Suck it up, soldier. Let's move out. And he didn't move, so I kicked him a little harder. And he didn't move, and I realized something's wrong here. When I flipped Willie over, his eyes were open. He had sand on his eyeballs. He had a cut on his lip, and he wasn't breathing. And I kicked back his neck a little bit, and I put my finger on his pulse. I felt something faint there, but really nothing. I dug down his throat to make sure nothing was there, pumped on his chest to make sure nothing was stuck in his throat like a piece of gum or something like that. And there was nothing there. And I screamed medic in the meantime. And I don't know what was going on. I just got the CID report on this the other day. I wanted to see it all these years and I couldn't read it. I finally sat down and read it about a month ago with my wife. And I started giving him mouth to mouth. I was giving him compressions. I'd turn around, put his head back, squeeze his nose, throw a breath of life in his mouth, and blood would pump out in my mouth and all over the front of me. And I'd come back over and I'd do compressions, and I was counting. This guy ran up and said, you're giving him mouth to mouth. I'll do the compressions. I'm a nurse. And he got down and gave him compressions. My friend Willie died. But let me tell you this. From that death, oh, how God used that death. Later on that day, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I can remember all the little things, all the tough things. But listen to me, friends. Be different. Willie changed the world, not with his death, but with his life. He lived different than everybody else. I watched 1,000 people jammed in a room 4 hours later with people getting up saying there was something different about him. This married couple knew what the answer was. this married couple said, there's something different, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we're inviting him, and we're inviting his disciples, and it's going to make a difference, and he's going to be there. And they said, Jesus is going to be part of it. And, you know, when our nation was founded, and as people came over, other than the American Indians, as folks came over, they said, we're going to come to America. It's going to be about Christ. We're not going to repress anything. We're going to tell people that it's all about Christ. The reason we're here is because Christ sent us. The reason we're here is because we want to plant churches like Heartland Baptist Fellowship. The reason we're here is because we want to worship God. But years went by. Something happened along the way. And 1925 showed up. And these folks said, you know, I know the Bible says it's about creation. And we believe that with all our hearts. But we think we should teach students something else. We think that as students come, they should... And whoever, did you pick up the water, Pastor? Thank you about that, man. It's that OCD and ADHD. I just couldn't get by that. I wouldn't have been able to finish the service in the DUMB that bothers me. But anyway, Scopes trial came along, folks, and everybody put it out there like, it's going to be okay. We just want to teach something else. Everybody knows that creationism is real. Everybody knows that the Bible is word for word. And over the next 2 years, they finally got themselves in court in 1925, and they fought, and they said, we're not changing anything. We're not getting away from God. Everything's going to be exactly the same. We just want to teach something else. And folks, very sadly, in that trial, our country began to change. We started teaching people in higher institutions that God didn't create the world. And these theories, you want to talk about having to have faith? These theories are a couple things out of nowhere that didn't even belong to each other, bounced into each other and created us and made amoebas and fish and God only knows what. You got to have some faith to believe that junk. I mean, that messes you up. I remember being taught that in college, and I said to the professor, do you really believe that? I mean, I wasn't even saved. I said, do you really believe this whole bang thing? I mean, really? And he said, oh, with all my heart. But folks, things started changing. And then in 1962, after 25 worked for almost 40 years, they decided that we shouldn't be praying in schools. But they said, listen, all we believe in is prayer. We don't want to change anything. We want to leave everything the same. We just, this little girl, she was offended that people were praying. It broke her heart. It's going to be okay. We just don't want people to pray. You know what we're going to do? We're going to replace that with a moment of silence. And all the courts said, this is a good idea. Nothing's going to change. The godly people are going to keep on praying. It's not going to change a thing. And they took it out of the schools. It wasn't long thereafter that they said, you know, we love the Bible. We know the Bible's the Word of God, but we would rather use textbooks during school. But we can tell people they can carry their Bibles in their backpacks and they can look on them if they need to. Friends, can I tell you something this morning? We need to be like this couple. We need to invite Jesus back in our lives. We need to invite him in everything we're doing. Our country, they're uninviting him. Boy, the uninviting's been terrible over the past 8 years or 10 years or so. We were uninviting them out of the military. We were saying, we're no longer going to issue Bibles. In 2009, one of the first executive orders signed by our new president, he, one of the first ones is, we're not going to buy Bibles for the military anymore. It's no longer going to be an issue of point. But we still believe in the Bible. We just don't want to hand it out because we don't want to offend anybody. You guys can understand that, right? That's what they told us. Everything's going to be all right. We're not going to take the Bible out of the military. We're just not going to give them one anymore. Abraham Lincoln in 1861 said, we're going to give everybody in the military a Bible. They're willing to fight for our country. They're willing to die for our country. Jesus is a big part of our country. We need God in our lives. We need Christ saving people. But the years went by. And in 2009, the president said, they don't need Bibles. Friends, can I tell you something this morning? You need to be like this married couple. You need to have Christ in your lives. You need to have Christ in everything you do. He alone can save. He alone is the one who changes life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man get to heaven but by me. It's all him. It's all about him. It's only him. Then the second group of people, so the married couple. Can I encourage you this morning, be like the married couple. The married couple invited Jesus. You didn't see the married couple sitting around talking about whether infanticide could happen, whether you could look at a baby spinning around and decide whether you want to keep it or not. You know why? Because they had Jesus in their lives. And folks, you know, so many things in our lives that are upside down and sideways, It can be fixed by having Jesus in our lives. Invite Christ, invite his disciples, bring them to your house and study his word and learn. And then the second group, or the one person, the mother of Christ. This is the last recorded words about her. And the third day was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what do I have to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. And we know when we see mine hour has not yet come, it's talking about the time of his crucifixion. It's mentioned throughout the Bible. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's where Nike stole it from. God said, just do it. They stole it from the King James Bible, praise God. But you know what someone needs to do? Someone needs to take this verse and circle it and highlight it and put it in an envelope and send it to the Pope and say, listen, Mary said, not what I say, not what I do, not what I act, whatever he says, just do it. Folks, can you listen to what Mary says this morning and make that part of your life? Can you do that this morning? Just do it. If God says, just do it. If God says he's the way, the truth, and the life, just trust him alone. If God says he can get you through something, check that block. It's God. Folks, it's all about God. He should be our priority. He should be our first visit. He should be the one we go to. It's about God. It's about what he says. It's about what he wants. Folks, I remember being stuck in Catholicism, and I was stuck. There's a lot of wonderful people who are Catholics, but they don't know the Lord and Savior that you and I know. I remember going to catechism. I remember going to Catholic school. I can remember praying the rosary. I was like the worst rosary prayer in the history of the Catholic Church. The objective was to be the worst kid in school, so your confession was always the longest and they let you go first. And you could lay up there and just go through a rosary bead every 17 seconds or so. That'd make me pray around. I wore out my rosaries, praise God, by second grade. But can I tell you, friends? No one ever said, here's Jesus, he's your Lord and Savior. No one ever said, invite Jesus into your home, into your marriage. I remember when Debbie and I got saved, we joined our first church in Alexandria, Virginia. And as we went to that first church and as God used it and as we learned, we were baptized and went through new Christian classes and we were saved and disciples and people poured their lives into us. And I remember I came home one day and I said, honey, I just feel so different. I'll never forget what she said. She said, this is the best life we've ever had. Folks, you want the best life you ever had? Invite Jesus into your lives. Bring him out. Make him part of your marriage. Don't make him something you do on Sunday morning. Make him your life. Man, when Jesus shows up, he changes everything. Man, before you know it, your neighbors come up to you and say, Doug, what's so different? It's God. God, I'd go home and visit my family, and my mother would say, your family's so happy. They're so happy. I'd say, Mom, it's Jesus. I'll never forget that November 1997 on Thanksgiving Day, prayed for years on my knees, an entire church begged God that my mom would get saved, a former Catholic nun. And on that Thanksgiving Day when she invited Jesus into her life, her husband, my stepfather, who got down on his knees and prayed, and the man who raised me and begged God to save him. That would never happen without having Jesus in your lives. That would never happen without saying, whatever he says, just do it. Brethren, can I tell you something this morning? Don't be a part-time Christian. Don't be that guy or gal that just wants to be a Christian on Sunday mornings. There's no fun in that. I remember when I was in the Army, we would make choices. What kind of soldier do we want to be? I decided when I was in E3 that I was going to stay in the Army my whole life of some point or another. I said, I'm just staying in. And so I started asking people questions like, how do you stay in your whole life? How can you make rank as fast as it's possible? And everybody more or less said the same thing. Sell out. Sell out. You need to ask yourself a question today. How can we make God our whole lives? Sell out. Just sell out. It's okay. What a vision here at church. What a leader as the pastor stood there and said, we're going to print Bibles, and he read all those countries. Can you imagine these people never having scripture in their whole life, but because of your church, because of your giving, because of your hearts, because of your method, people are going to get the word of God. And you say, well, Brother Doug, why is that? Because your pastor read those words, just do it. Whatever God says, just do it. Sell out. You can be part of that. You get to be part of God all the time if you want. There's stuff going on. Point number three, group number three, the motivated servants. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Have Jesus over, have the disciples over. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I have to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and pay attention to this last sentence from this morning's message. And they filled them to the brim. I was thinking about the motivated servants. Here are these disciples, these motivated servants. They were out there with Christ, and they had these water pots. They needed water. They were out of wine. They were out of this their fresh wine, just the grape juices, we know it, in those days, and they were out of those things. And Jesus said, just fill the water pots up. And the motivated servants right here changed my life on an airplane about 2 months ago. And let me tell you why. Because they filled those pots to the brim. And I thought about what I've done for Jesus in my life. And there's been a lot of times I didn't fill the pots to the brim. You know, pastor could say, Doug, we got some pots. We need to do this. We need to do that. And don't get me wrong. I was doing everything in church, not for God, but for myself so I look good. Boy, God smote me over that one time. I was cleaning the ladies' room for about the 157th time. My heart wasn't right, and I was thinking bad things. I'll never forget it. I walked out, and my little son went to get me some spray-on cleaner. And he said, Daddy, here's the spray-on cleaner. And I said, Daniel, I said, you know, I just wish someone else would clean. He said, but Daddy, then we couldn't do it for God. Man, I wanted to shut my hand in the window or something and flick. Folks, we serve God. They took their little water jugs. Think about this. And they tell us about these firkins, and it says, and there were six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying the Jews. If you do the math, there's 162 gallons. And they took the cups, and we believe that cups were about a liter, liter and a half. And they went to the well. By Jewish law, you couldn't have a party near the well. You couldn't have a privy near the well. So they walked down, probably in that heat that day, and they filled that, and they walked all the way back, and they poured it in those buckets. And they didn't say, this is becoming a real pain in my neck. No. They said, we need to get Jesus more. And they went back to the well, and they filled that thing again. Then they ran back and filled it up, and they went back, and they filled it up, and they were excited. And you say, well, Brother Doug, what does that have to do with anything? We need to serve God. We need to be excited about it. We need to fill the pots to the top. When we fill them to the top, there's more for Christ to use. When we fill them to the top, it's about serving God. When we fill them to the top, it's no longer about us. When we fill them halfway and said, I did enough, it's all about you. But when you serve God and you fill those things to the top, woo! It's like Willie. Every day of Willie's life, he filled his pots to the top. Whatever God gave him that day, he filled them to the top. He smiled. We'd come in from a 5-mile run. People with hurt legs. People are vomiting. People are looking for their clean clothes. Life is all messed up. And there's Willie over there. We got to run this morning. Praise God. Oh, I love my God. How about you, friends? Are you filling the water pots up? Do you even know where the pots are around this church? Let me say this to you, and I'll leave it alone. We'll talk a little bit about salvation. I'll sit down and be quiet. I didn't know what serving Jesus was until I realized I didn't know everything. Some of you know that. You've been discipled. This church has got a great discipleship program. Man, when I was able to just serve God, when my relationship with God became all about God, for a while I thought it was about me. I thought it was about me and a little bit about God. But when I woke up one day and got the realization that I can't even breathe without His help, I can't even walk without His hold in my hand, I can't do anything for anybody, I can't save one soul, but He can. That's when I decided I wanted to be a motivated servant. Friends, can I tell you this morning, be a motivated servant. Give everything again to God. Be like these three groups of people. Be like those three groups. Be like the married couple. Bring Jesus into your home. Bring Jesus into your family. Bring Jesus into every meal. Bring Jesus into your relationships. Bring Jesus in everything you're doing. And by the way, when you bring Jesus in, He straightens things out. Because if your relationships aren't right, you need to get out of them. Folks, it's all about Christ. It's not about what we want. But man, when you can look over at your wife and she says, my life's never been this good. That's when it's about God. Boy, what He does in your life, it changes everything. You know, the Bible teaches us that there's four things we need to know to enlist in God's army, to have an opportunity to be one of those servants. The Bible says the first thing we know, it says, as it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. The Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Do you realize we're all sinners? I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're all sinners. First thing you need to know. Second thing you need to know is there's a price on sin. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us before any of us were born. I'm sorry. Second thing you need to know is there's a price on sin, it's death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, because of the sin that entered into this world, we're all going to die. The Bible says the good news is the third thing. But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Friends, all you need to know is that you get to be a servant, don't you? Christ died for you. But you can know you're a sinner. You can know that Jesus paid the price for your sin. You can know that you're going to die because of sin. You can know that Jesus paid the price for sin. But the Bible says we must speak it with our mouth and believe it in our heart. Friends, can I tell you something this morning? You can know a lot. You can know you're a sinner. You can know that because of that sin, Christ died for you. You're going to die, and Christ died for you because of that sin, and still go to hell. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I'll read it to you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no steps. There's no sacraments. There's no work. And it says, for with the heart, in verse 10, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friends, that day that Willie died, about 3 hours later, we had a memorial service. And right after that memorial service, a chaplain sat down with me and showed me from the Bible how I could know for sure I was saved. Don't leave this church without knowing for sure you're saved. We can't save you, but we can show you God's word and how God can save you this morning. Don't leave without it. One of the ladies in church, I preached on hell Wednesday night. And I told the story about that man getting in an accident and dying. And she came in this morning. They had taken a trip. Where'd you go on your trip? Rolla. And there was a car flipped upside down, burning. Folks, we hope that never happens to anybody, but we don't know how much time we have. I'm so glad I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm so glad that Willie had accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, pastor's coming, I'm getting out of your way. I'm getting out of your way. Eyes are closed and our heads are bowed. No one's looking around. You have an opportunity right now. Pastor's going to tell you what to do. You have an opportunity right now to get saved. The Bible said we must speak it with our mouth and believe it with our heart. Would you say, Brother Doug, and be honest with me this morning. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to take a picture of you. We're not going to come running after you. But I do want to pray for you if you're not saved this morning. I have no idea how many people prayed for me. People were telling me, I've been praying for you for years when I got saved. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, would you do me a favor? Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to point you out to anybody. I see a hand, sir. I see a hand, ma'am. Anyone else would say, I'm not sure I'm saved this morning. Anybody else? Anybody else say, I'm not sure I'm saved this morning. In just a minute, pastor's going to tell you what to do, and he's going to tell you what you need to pray and how you can do it. Please, sir, please, ma'am, if you raise your hand, don't leave here without getting that right. Please. It'd be the best thing ever to get saved and start serving God. I wonder if you're here this morning, you say, Brother Doug, I have family members, I have friends, and they're dying and going to hell. Would you pray with me about them? Would you lift your hands up high? Say, I know people who are dying and going to hell. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you saw our hands, Lord, and oh God, our friends, our family members, Lord, save them, please. Lord, this morning you saw the two precious hands of the lady and the gentleman who raised the hand and said, I'm not sure I'm saved this morning. Oh God, I thank you for them. I thank you for their honesty. And I beg you, Lord, that here, right now, you would save them before we leave this building. Oh God, please don't let anyone leave this building without accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We love you, Lord. We love you. Oh God, we want to see these folks saved. Please, Lord, save them. God, be with us. Be with the preacher. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor. Amen.
Let's continue in an attitude of prayer with head bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you want to receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, whether you raised your hand or you didn't, the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation, and we're here to help you with that. If you would just simply, right where you are, just stand to your feet. We will come to you, and we can open up the Bible, and we can show you in the Bible how you can know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it seems like a bold thing to do, but we're here to help you. If you just want to say, Brian, that's I do. I want to know. I want to settle this issue in my heart. We can't save you, but we can show you in the Bible what the Bible says and what you need to do to know that if you die today, you'd spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody at all that says, Brian, I want to take you up on that? Well, do it right now. Just stand right where you are. I know you feel like your legs weigh 1,000 tons, but just let the Lord lift you right now where you are, anyone at all. You raised your hand if you didn't. Amen. Let's stand together in an attitude of prayer. And this is a time, if you need to drop something at the altar, you need to lay something down, maybe you need to make a decision to join this church or take the next right step, maybe you need to be baptized, maybe you just need to come forward and say, you know what, I want to know more about salvation. Now is a great time to do that as well. So let's just continue in an attitude of prayer as we continue and consider what we've heard this morning, because we've heard about the married invited Jesus. Man, that was a good point. Maybe this morning we need to invite Jesus into our heart, maybe into our marriage. And like the mother of Christ, just do it, right? That she just said, do it. Whatever he says, do it. Maybe the Lord's calling us to do something this morning. Maybe God's calling you to lay down something or to pick up something. Maybe he's calling you to just go all in, right? Like the motivated servant, not just halfway, but all the way. And so as we continue in prayer and one more time across, is there anybody that would just say, hey, Brian, pray for me. I have a special need. I just need some prayer. Amen. Several of us. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together. We thank you for the one who came and was seeking more information about what it is to be saved. We pray, God, that today they would find their rest, their peace, their hope, their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross by faith, Lord, that you would just quicken their heart and they would be born again. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you for Brother Doug Carriger and the message that he just preached. What a powerful message. What a great sermon to help remind us that we do need to be ones that are inviting you into our life, Lord, like that married couple, or that we need to say, just do it, whatever it is in our life. And Lord, thank you for giving us that motivation to go all the way and fill the cup to overflowing, fill it to the brim. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just overflow in our lives, Lord, that you would just fill us to the full today. Lord, I want to thank you for those that are here this morning. I want to pray for Doug as well. This coming Tuesday is a very important meeting coming. And this whole body, Lord, put it upon our hearts at 9 o'clock in the morning to be praying for our brother, be praying for the opportunity he has to have a place to train for the Wounded Spirits ministry. God, we thank you for that opportunity. I pray, God, that you would just bless Doug and Debbie, Lord, that you would just fill their sails, Lord, with the Spirit of God, that they would come out of here encouraged. And, Lord, that when they come through HBF, Lord, they know that there were people that love you, love your word, Lord, and we just want to obey your will. And so, Father, I pray you would encourage them. Thank you for bringing him as a servant this morning to minister to your church and giving him words that are fitly spoken. Lord, we just pray, God, we'd now obey what's been told, and Lord, that we would be obedient to the things that you're calling us to. I pray specifically for those that had hands raised, Lord, that you would minister to them and meet them at their need right now. Lord, use your word, use your church, and use your spirit to teach us all things whatsoever you've said to us, Lord, and encourage us and fitly join us, fitly frame us, so that we can continue to build one another and edify each other in love. We thank you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. You may be seated. Here in just a moment, we're gonna take up an offering. We're going to give back to the Lord what he's given to us, the first fruits of the increase. And as I said earlier, if you're a first-time guest, you're a guest here, we just want to make sure that we get to know you. So just drop that white guest card in there, or if you can rip one off of the bulletin, you can drop that in there, and we will get back with you this week. We are glad that you came. Brother Doug, thank you for coming. That was a good word. We really appreciate that. I'm going to invite Luke up. You're doing the announcements, right? Why don't you come up, Luke, and ask a blessing on the offering, and then Luke will have a few announcements. As Luke is coming to pray, if you have children that are of the age, they're biblically born again, been scripturally baptized, and are able to partake of the Lord's Supper, this would be a great time for you to get up and go get those children right now. So sorry I didn't do that while we were standing. But anyway, I want to make sure we get that done, because after Luke is done, we'll commence with the Lord's Supper.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this morning. I just thank you for the word that was brought. And God, I pray that, as always, God, that we would just not be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers. And like Brian talked about in the first service this morning, God, just that we would all be going, and that we would be fishing, and that we'd be just doing the things that we know to do, God, the things that we talk about all the time, but that we would not just talk about them and hear them, but that we would actually actively be doing them throughout the week, God, and just every aspect of our lives at our jobs or at school or wherever it is that you would have us run into people who are lost and on their way to hell, God. I pray that we would just be sensitive to that and be prepared for when those doors do present themselves. I just ask your blessing on this offering this morning as well, in Jesus' name, amen. So those of you guys who are here for first service, Brian kind of summarized a bunch of stuff that's going on and just over the next few weeks. And so I just want to hit on a couple of things announcement-wise for everyone to be aware of. So just this week, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up. So the Vision Conference starts a week from today, and I think most everyone knows that. It'll go Sunday through Wednesday. But starting today, right after church, they need help decorating, putting stuff up on the walls and in all the different classrooms. So Mitch and Jody are coordinating that. So if you guys, if anybody can stay right after church today and help for a little bit or can come, I think you guys are going to be here all week working on stuff until it's done. So just be mindful of that and that's going on. So in addition to the decorating that's going on, there's also a sign up in the lobby for meals. I think there's a Sunday night dinner. There's a Monday breakfast and lunch and a Tuesday breakfast and lunch. And so anybody who can bring food to help out with that would be great. You don't need to sign up if you're just going to come to the morning events, teaching. But if you're going to be bringing something, please do sign up out there. And then just on a personal note with the Vision Conference, every year it seems like the preaching at night is always awesome, and I'm always convicted that I didn't come to the daytime sessions. And so I took time off of work this week, this coming week, so I'll be here for the daytime sessions. I encourage anybody who can come to come to the daytime sessions, because I always hear really good things about them, and I've never been to them before. So just if you can make it, please make it. It's Monday morning and Tuesday morning. There won't be anything on Wednesday morning except for the night service that evening. So in addition to Vision Conference, this coming Saturday, Brian mentioned it this morning as well, the movie Unplanned, they're showing that at the theater here in Harrisonville. So there's sign-up information in your bulletin or on the thing that's attached to your bulletin. So check that out if you're interested in going to that. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is camp. So summer camp registration opens tomorrow. So if you have a junior high or high school student, that would be anybody who's going into sixth grade this coming fall or all the way up through graduating seniors, the camp registration opens tomorrow. So the cost is $180, same as it was last year. We have a new option to as far as paying for that. So if you wanted to start making like monthly payments, you can do that just through your regular offering. When you register online, you can actually pay the whole 180, or you can just put on there that you're going to pay later, and you can kind of pay throughout between now and July 5th when we leave. So I've got little flyers and stuff for anybody who has a student in the ministry or who wants to invite somebody or anything like that. I've got information. So please see me if you need help with that or have questions about that, or if the cost is too much or whatever. Please just let me know. And then if anybody's wanting to give and help sponsor a student to go, that's awesome. Every year it seems like we have multiple people who need help